Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, also author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. We start with the good, and it's a good with a little bit of a caveat here, Jim. There are rumors going around, and whether they end up being true or not, we'll see in the coming hours and days, I guess. But Senator John Walsh of Montana, he was the guy that was appointed to replace Max Baucus, who was named ambassador to China. He's getting pounded by Congressman Steve Daines in the polls in the race for the full six-year term. It did not help at all when it was determined that he probably plagiarized his master's thesis at the Army War College back in 2007 when he was at the crisp young age of 46. And now it appears that he's canceling a series of upcoming events amid buzz that he'll drop his campaign. This according to The Hill. He's been struggling mightily. We talked yesterday about the odds Nate Silver is giving the Republicans to pick up this seat. And right now it looks like the Democrats are either going with a former leader of NARAL or a state senator who would obviously be a huge underdog as well. So however this turns out, it looks like it's real good news for Republicans.
Yeah, by the way, I should point out that, you know, NARAL, it just screams Montana, right?
Right.
So a couple of thoughts to unpack here. The first is, there have been a lot of plagiarism wars of people, you know, pointing and saying, aha, we've caught this person in plagiarism. And sometimes it looks like it's the real deal. And then sometimes you take something that's just kind of cliche or kind of a common phrase. We all remember where we were on 9/11 or something like that. Well, lots of people have written that sentence. Just because you find it in one place and then another doesn't mean it was plagiarism. In the case of the War College final thesis, that was pretty solid stuff. I mean, this was not, you know, coincidental phrasing or two. This was pretty much six whole proposals and all that stuff. Walsh exacerbated it by basically saying it was because of post-traumatic stress disorder, which, you know, as a guy who served his country, we want to make sure he gets the care he needs and all that. But the idea of, oh, no, years earlier I'd seen something traumatic and that caused me to commit plagiarism, that doesn't really fly as an excuse. It really seems to be kind of a cheap excuse there to try to justify it. And then, of course, you just kind of see this was not a great opportunity for Democrats anyway. My suspicion is they will end up substituting with him with Frank Lautenberg, the New Jersey Democrat who came in during the Torricelli maneuver back in 2002. Now, yes. I would point out, some may say Frank Lautenberg is dead, and that means he cannot qualify. But, you know, I seem to remember Carnahan winning a race as a you know, after he had passed away. So why wouldn't that work for the Montana? You know, I just figured somewhere the DSCC, there's a in case of emergency break glass type case, and they just put out Frank Lautenberg as their de facto candidate. What makes this the good martini is not so much that Walsh did, it's certainly not that Walsh did this, certainly not that Walsh is potentially leaving the race. It's more that, you know, Biden did the same thing with a speech by a Labor Party member, Neil Kinnock, and everybody just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, that's just Joe Biden being Joe Biden. And I don't know if necessarily this is something where, you know, John Walsh needs to be flogged in the public square or you know, but there should be some sort of consequence for this sort of thing. And it sounded like the War College was investigating and contemplating some sort of serious response to it. In this case, it just meant that there is some sort of consequence to what Walsh did. And it's, you know, kind of strange that he just wouldn't attribute what he had said earlier. There are a lot of cases where we see scandals and, you know, life just seems to go on. Everybody kind of is like one or two days of outrage and then, you know, the politician can just wait out the storm. So it's good to see there appears there's going to be a consequence here. We will talk more about politicians and their shameless ways in the third martini. So stay tuned.
Exactly. On to the bad martini now. And we go down to the state of Florida. The Democrats keep telling us that all is well with Obamacare. We got the numbers that they wanted to see with the total signups, even though those numbers are a little misleading. Everyone's going to be happy with it in the long term. Apparently, everyone does not include healthcare patients in the state of Florida. This is a reporter named Jason Lanning of Bay News 9, I believe, in the Tampa area.
State insurance officials say 14 companies will be selling insurance to Floridians through healthcare.gov in 2015. 11 of them are returning providers, and of those, 8 are posting rates ranging from 11% to 23%. The companies with the biggest rate increases are some of the most popular here in Florida. Florida Blue will raise its Affordable Care Act insurance rates by 17.6% next year. Humana is asking for a rate increase of 14.1%. And Health First Insurance is asking for the biggest rate hike, 23%.
23%, 17, even 14 is huge, Jim. So this is just not good in a state where obviously healthcare is perhaps more prized than any other.
This comes on the heels of California also having bad news. Californians paying 22% to 88% more for individual health coverage this year. Look, this is not something unbelievably shocking to a whole bunch of us. The mix of old and young was not quite what they were hoping for there. Obama said he was going to save the average family $2,500, and that was clearly crazy happy talk. This helps, you know, make the case against Obamacare. Having said that, the folks who are getting their care or who are now having insurance, although perhaps not having a doctor, are going to be resistant to getting rid of it. And, you know, at some point we argue about politics, and now it feels like it's all just this kind of circus sideshow. But sometimes policies have real effects on this. And one of them is people are paying a heck of a lot more for health insurance, and they were told they wouldn't. And it's going to be a real uphill battle to undo all this. And so a thoroughly bad martini here today.
Yeah, certainly the case. All right, on to the foreshadowed crazy martini now. And Jim wrote an excellent piece on this today in the Morning Jolt. And for those who have been paying attention, the former governor of Virginia, Bob McDonnell, and his wife, Maureen, have been on trial the past several days in Richmond over allegations, federal allegations of corruption and gift and influence peddling with a guy named Johnny Williams Sr., who was the head of a company called Star Scientific. He was basically lavishing the McDonnells with gifts in exchange for access and favors, including putting on a demo at the governor's mansion. Jim, you talk about one extremely awkward example of Mrs. McDonnell trying to push a product from this company onto Ann Romney in the Jolt today, and just what this means and what this tells us about the political culture, especially when a couple like the McDonnells, which had this squeaky clean ethical image, end up mired in something like this.
Greg, I seem to remember you having vaguely happy, positive, warm, fuzzy noises about Bob McDonnell when he was in office. He was a Republican. He was a fairly conservative one. Really no hint of this kind of, apparently he had, you know, his family had serious financial issues. And as a result of that, was willing to do some loans and deals and little, you know, favors from donors that emitted a bit more than a little bit of an odor. You laid it out pretty well that, you know, Bob McDonnell was getting serious consideration to be Mitt Romney's running mate in 2012. They're meeting and kind of feeling each other out. And Maureen McDonnell, the First Lady of Virginia, was just in this kind of this obsessive drive to promote Johnny Williams' products. They turned into like walking commercials for these things. And so according to, you know, Phil Cox, Bob McDonnell's chief political advisor at the time, Mrs. McDonnell goes to Ann Romney and says that this anti-inflammatory supplement could, quote, potentially cure MS. I think of myself as a kind of cynical person, but I look at that and I just read that story and I just had to just sit for a while. And imagine like the kind of nerve, the kind of shamelessness, the kind of just lack of basic sensitivity and all that stuff to go to a woman like Ann Romney, who's clearly suffering from MS, and say, look, you know, this thing I'm taking, this vitamin supplement, it might cure this disease you've been suffering with. It just seems just jaw-droppingly shameless and like borderline obnoxious. And just, you know, how do you do this? And I kind of wonder if just it feels like we have a increasingly nutty political class. And I don't know whether like at some point the shame gene or the portion of your brain that's supposed to prevent you from doing those sorts of things just stopped functioning in Maureen McDonnell. And I think we can safely say that whatever you think of Bob McDonnell, he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing in the governor's mansion. And just the whole idea of turning the governor's mansion into this walking infomercial for this donor's product. So it really kind of, it appalls me. I think McDonnell is now high on my list of politicians I'd really like to punch in the face. Just for sheer embarrassment of embarrassing himself, embarrassing the state, embarrassing the party, embarrassing everybody who voted for him. You're just not supposed to behave like this. You know, it's saying the thing that she did to Ann Romney really makes me kind of wonder about their mental state at the time. And I just kind of feel like more and more it feels like we're seeing just unbelievable behavior on the part of elected officials. Your Anthony Weiners, your David Wu's, one example after another of all this stuff. So it's a thoroughly crazy martini. But there's just this kind of very unnerving state that, you know, that Maureen McDonnell was running around, you know, and no one had the capacity to say, Maureen, you can't do this. You got to stop doing this. You have a problem here.
we expect better from our people. That's why we're more shocked than when it's Anthony Weiner or David Wu or some other folks like that. Plus, you know, we kind of liked having the moral high ground on this issue. As a connoisseur of the Kerry Edwards campaign, it was them that claimed that paralyzed people would walk if we got the stem cell funding, right?
Yeah, it's a good point. That is a very good point. Like the idea of, for a long time, there was an argument that media bias actually benefits Republicans, because knowing that the media is going to jump all over everything you do means that Republicans weed out their riffraff. If you have a serious problem, you can't represent the party because that problem's going to come out. And then perhaps Democrats, thinking that the media will cover for those guys, don't weed out their riffraff quite as well as we do. I think you look at McDonnell and it indicates, I mean, having had no clue of this kind of stuff when he was in office, this kind of unnerving sense that somebody can really fool you and have very serious problems going on in their lives and be behaving in a way that's completely contrary to their public image at that time. And, you know, you never really know an elected official, Greg.
Jim, obviously we'll let the jury decide innocence or guilt, but if he is found guilty, does that mean we get the tax hike repealed?
yeah, that'd be nice. No, we will not. And then kind of the other observation there is that, by the way, I would point out that, like, all this whole trial is not about being shameless and kind of ludicrous in your promotion of this donor's products. It's more about being able to prove a quid pro quo, that there was some sort of state action taken on behalf of, you know, the Virginia state governments did at the order or request of McDonald to benefit Johnny Williams' company. And it's people have said that, look, the prosecutor is going to have a much tougher time proving that than the straight up, you know, isn't this all kind of icky and shameless and crass and tacky and all that stuff. So my suspicion is that there's a part of me would not be the least bit surprised if the McDonald's get acquitted on all these charges. But I think it's safe to say their reputation is dirt now. These are their own staffers telling these things. These are not people who are, you know, political rivals out to get them. And you get the feeling that the likes of Cox and you know, apparently there are emails from Tucker Martin, McDonald's communication guy who I used to deal with, kind of asking, wait, why are we doing this? Why are we holding a corporate event in the governor's mansion? What's going on here? So there were people around them who thought this something was very wrong here, but they were not in a capacity to put a stop to it. And it's a very depressing set of circumstances in Richmond. But hey, we got Terry McAuliffe now, so we got money out of politics. Don't worry.
Yeah, nothing crass or sleazy going on these 4 years. That's
there
for sure.
There you go. Yes.
All right, Jim. Have a good day. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.